Well, greetings in the name of the Lord. Shall we just begin our service by falling upon our knees in prayer? Dear God, Lord, what an opportunity and blessing it is for us to be in an assembly where we can open our mouth and sing together and hear the tones of heaven. Father, we thank you that that is a tone which we believe will ring through eternity in perfection in a far greater way than what we have experienced this morning. But we thank you for the down payment of it. And we know that's the way it is. You have given us the earnest of the Spirit. You have given us the down payment of heaven in our soul. And we thank you for it also in our church life. I pray, Father, that the service this day may truly be an inspiration and uplifting experience, even though there may need to be a reproof of our hearts, Lord. We pray that the ultimate end would be an uplifting of our spiritual life and soul. And we pray, Father, that you would purge us and prune us that we might bring forth more fruit. Thanking you, dear God, for everyone that is here this morning and praying, Father, break the word of life to us, make it clear and plain. Let a clear call come forth from this place again, that it may not be gray, but it may be black and white, and we might see where the lines are in Christianity today. Father, we thank you for your clear word, and may our lives be as clear as the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to stop in for a visit again before we move on to the next place. But anyway, we would just like to say thank you for your prayers and for your understanding and hearts to beat with ours while we were in Wisconsin. Truly, we had a blessed time with Brother Daniel and Sister Dawn and Brother Myron Weaver family, and also the Keniston family stopping in for the first night. We would just like to say God blessed us. For me, and I guess for all of us, we would have to say it was the highest concentration of some of the remnant family or homeschooling families across the nation that we would have ever met with at any one place, probably, other than but in Colorado that Brother Denny had just a few weeks before. But they came in there from Minnesota, about three or four families from Minnesota. They were there from the outskirts of Chicago, from Indiana, and from around Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, and also in the area there. I was impressed with a farmer from the community who moved up there for cheaper farming ground, I guess, from Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, years ago. He came to the service on Saturday night and was just overwhelmed at the scarcity of a service like that. Just the preaching of the Word in a clear way, which he hardly ever finds. He goes to some Free Methodist church, I think. And he was back again on Sunday night, this time having his son along and his wife. And I just can see them sitting there with her craned neck or stretched neck all evening to listen to the message. Afterwards, he said to me again, he said, "You fellows realize what a rare thing something like this is in this world today. We hardly ever hear anything like this." And he said, went on to give his testimony about what an oddball he is, also that he got rid of his television. And he said, "I was raised on it." But he said, "I got rid of that thing." And he said, "We're homeschooling our children and I'll be back again." That was kind of his word, but he just blessed us and warmed us for, what he considered to be a few people left in this world that dared to preach the word, and it was overwhelming. Another thing was a man from Minnesota who couldn't talk hardly after the services. I went up to him and I noticed that it was hard for him to say anything, and he said, I can't hardly talk. I just cannot put it in words what I'm experiencing and feeling. Once again, the hunger and the thirst for God and for righteousness was so great. We had people in the balcony at every service, I think, but one. They fed around 182 people or so for the noon meal, and for the five or so families in Wisconsin, that was overwhelming. So, Ewan Weaver, he used to come to the service and he said, "Well, I can't believe it. They just keep coming in there and just keep coming in." And he was overwhelmed for the opportunity to serve in such a way and see God bless the work so abundantly there. So we had a good time. And the Lord had a baptism on Sunday afternoon for one of Reuben Yoder's daughters, Lois. And then again another service in the evening there. So they send their greetings to the church here, and as best that I can tell, there'll be some families moving, there'll be some sewing machines humming, there'll be some purchases made, and perhaps other things destroyed and what have you as a result of it. That was the feel that we got as they said, where do I move? What do I do? I've got to do something. I need fellowship like this. Where can I get this? Where can I get that? How do you do this? It was just a right field, I would say. All right, let us turn our Bibles this morning to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. The first seven verses. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity." Now, I know this morning is not Mother's Day, but I would have a desire this morning to lift up a tribute to godly women. Because of the essential part, I believe it is, to our church here and to the work of God. As I look at the scripture here in Titus and look at the beginning of it, he simply says to Titus, "Now look, I want you to speak those things which become sound doctrine." And then he goes down a list. I want you to talk to the aged men. I want you to teach them. I want you to tell them how to live. I want you to tell them how to be and how to function in church life. And then I want you to teach the aged women. And I want you to talk to them and to tell them how to live, and to give them their responsibility in church life, and as far as the gospel as a whole is concerned. And then I want you to talk to the young women, and I want you even to tell the old women to take the responsibility to train the young women, and to teach them and instruct them concerning church life. And then I want you to talk to the young men, and I want you to tell them how, and exhort them to be sober-minded, and that there to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing themselves uncorruptness and gravity and sincerity. So I would like to just focus this morning a little bit on the godly women. And I would say that because I realize a few things. One of them is the load that you're carrying. Due to the circumstances of life as they are, with the school situation, I realize that the end time church here is putting a heavy load on our mothers and on our sisters, and the responsibility for them to train the children, where in years gone by it was shoved off on the church, or it was shoved off on the state, or on the community, or someone else. Today you are shoring yourselves up and girding your loins, as it were, to speak, and taking this responsibility in a way that has not been done for perhaps a few hundred years. And may I say, due to the laws as to the amount of time that you are required to do it, you perhaps are doing it in a greater way than it has ever been done. Because in the past, when parents taught their own children, they had no laws as to how much, and they simply trained them as opportunity came, and they spent time in the winter time, maybe for 3 months or so, in the books, and then the rest of the time was the life teaching out of the circumstances of life. But today, because of the law, you are held to a responsibility and obligation, and I know that around the country, that is putting you under great stress, putting our sisters under a heavy obligation. But I just wanted to reflect back on what a blessing it is, where it's coming out at as I see it, and just giving you opportunity this morning to see that you're not forgotten, that you're needed, and the testimony that you're leaving is essential in the life of this church. It is essential in the life of this community. And may I say, it is also essential to be the salt of this nation, like it ought to be. And here we have just a few words that I would like to look at. It is the word discreet, because we are told here that the young women are to be taught to be sober, to love their own husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste keepers at home. They are to be good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I would like to read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, before we go on, which duplicates it also to Timothy. Paul's telling Timothy, I want you to take the same responsibility. I want you to teach these sisters in the church. And here he lifts up a standard of a sister being taken into a number of what is considered a deaconess, or being charged by the church to have a unique responsibility and a ministry in the church. And her ministry was to minister to the sick. She was supposed to be able, as I see it, to go into a needy home and to minister when a mother is sick, or whether sick children. She was supposed to go in there and minister there, and she was needed to be a holy woman. And so he gave some qualifications here as to what type of woman is to be brought into this number. And in verse 10, he says, well reported, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number, having under 60 years old. She needed to be 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And I had to think this morning, even though that we're not looking for an ordination or a charging of a deaconess this morning, I wanted to give due credit this morning to this very thing that's happening in our church. That there are those that are well reported of good works, and they are bringing up their children, and they are lodging strangers, and they are washing the saints' feet. And I take that in a broader sense than just literal there. And they are relieving the afflicted, and they are diligently following every good work. And what a blessing that is to the church. What a power. What a testimony. And we often may think, well, that's maybe a little off to the side. But you with me have been many times perhaps in services where it is not that way. And we know that the women many times control an atmosphere in a church. They are either the haughty ones, or they're lighthearted, or they're giddy, or they're fashionable, or they're worldly. And in that way, there's a bunch of brethren trying to be spiritual, but they pull the power of it right out of them by looking at the other end of the house. And then at the same time, we've also been in places where they've been sad, and they've been long-faced, and they've been real dull, and hardly a spiritual conversation, and hardly ever reaching out to a stranger or to a needy person and trying to minister to them. So in both cases, we know that you can hinder. But there's also in between that a blessing and a place for it where these godly virtues are experienced in church life. And I just feel like a lot of that is going on around here. We feel it when we're away. We feel it when we come home. We know there are those that carry as much an interest as to what is going on when we're away, like in Wisconsin, or on a 3-week trip, or in some other place, than what the brothers do. And they can't wait to get the report, and their prayers are with us daily. And I think that's paramount. It's important. It's great. It's what makes the church what it is. It gives us strength as a body. And I just like to lift it up there this morning and honor it and bless it and say, go for it. It's right. It's good. You're going the right way in many, many of these areas. Someone has said, or often says, that behind every successful man is a successful woman. And I believe, though, that statement is sometimes used in a wrong way to try to lift the woman up, but at the same time, we know that there's truth behind that. And I would like to say this morning the same for the church. Behind every successful church are its holy women. Behind every successful church are the godly testimony that come from this side of the house, the ministry, the glow in your faces, the doing your part, the ministering the older ones to the younger ones, and to try to help a struggling one to love her husband, to love her children, how to teach them, how to train them, how to bring them into godly order, how to cook better meals, how to minister to sick and hurting ones. And I believe that that is one of the things that makes it what it is around here. And I praise God for it. It's a joy to me every time when I come home and I sense many of these things and how they function. And what a many times, even just in the conversations after a Sunday morning that I have with a few each Sunday, and what a blessing it is to feel the oneness and the support. But I would just like to mention a number of these things. I'd like to bless you this morning for your interest in spiritual things. In times past, I've known where, like, it has either been loose, giddy, worldly, gossipy, that type, or else it has been where ministers have said, you stay out of the affairs of the church. You stay out of spiritual things. Give your attention to your children and your babies. And you don't talk about the things of God. And my heart is grieved at the very thought of such a thing. But rather, I believe it is right that you're spiritual. That you're spiritual enough that you're interested in the things of God, in His Word, that the burdens of the church become your burdens, become your prayer burdens, and they are already. And I know that some of the strength around here comes from mothers, from young sisters who are praying daily for some of the needs of this congregation. And it's right. It's good. Your life is made better by it, and our lives are made better by it, and the testimony of the church is made a lot better by it. I think of your homeschooling. I think of how you're taking those children. And out of school comes a spirit. Did you know that? Out of school, normally we know in our past when we had even went to these one-room schools down here, and much more so today in the public school system, that the children come home with a spirit out of a school. It's the spirit of the boys. Or it's the spirit of the girls. There's a couple ringleaders in the crowd. and they permeate, and through peer pressure bring that into the rest of the children, and they carry a spirit with them. Where did they learn it? Just a pack of undisciplined children put together will produce a spirit that a mother and father are often saying, where did they get that and what do I do about it? But what now that we are so heavily in the homeschooling, the responsibility of that spirit lies at your door, lies in your kitchen or your living room or your schoolroom. And you are forming that spirit. Now, you're not only doing it in homeschooling. And those of you who are not homeschooling, I would like to tell you this. They tell me that the spirit of a home can many times not truly be rooted out in 6 hours in school, but that the atmosphere and the spirit of a home will permeate one's life over and above, by and large, the education that it gets. But here you have both. And it's highly valued that you take those children and you form their spirit. You teach them to look to a hurting one, to someone in sorrow, someone injured, that you look to the underdog, that you do not have a proud spirit or a haughty one, but that you reach down to the lowly and condescend the men of low estate. So I want to encourage you. You're doing that, many all over this room. And we know it. We sense it. Yes, we have some problems. Yes, some children are not all in order on a Sunday morning here after the services. But I'd like to say many of you are doing right. You're doing good. It's a blessing to see what has been accomplished. And I just bless God for it. Your modesty. It's another one. We men, we've talked about it many times. We remember the struggles of the past of a Sunday afternoon or in interaction with other sisters when we would sit around in the living room and the difficulty that we all had of not knowing right how to look and where to put our eyes and all those things. And I'd like to encourage and bless what has happened around here on that subject. We can rest our eyes around here. We can sit in a circle and be in spiritual fellowship. That is rare. Let me tell you, that is rare. And I thank God for it, that there doesn't have to be a tugging and a carrying on to try to cover so that it doesn't offend, but that all you need to do is sit in a circle and the modesty is there and the changes that have been made by both Mennonites and Amish, perhaps, and those of you who come out of the fashion world, all of you have made many changes around here due to the principle of modesty that's been upheld. And we thank God for it. It's right. It's paying off. It's a blessing. All the men of this room practically would acknowledge how it lessened their struggle and how it's a blessing to interact with sisters on a spiritual level without having to fight the flesh. I'd like to honor that here. And I'd also like to be jealous over it. Because we don't step very far out of the circle of a fellowship like this where it's not that way. And I'm jealous over it. I'd like to honor the fact how you reach out to help. Many times, and I run into it wherever I go, that if I have a need in the council room where I need a sister with me, or else, and my wife is not along, I have had the freedom to call on you. Some of you, even single or married ones, it hasn't mattered. And I said, here's a need. Take care of it, or else can you assist me in counseling a sister? And there is always a readiness. Nobody seems to say, well, I am not able, or I can't do it, and no, get somebody else. I don't get those responses. Usually it's an immediate response, and you're there in the council room by the side of the sister that's being counseled to help, to minister, and just to be present. I think of the reaching out to strangers. I just had a testimony in the past few days of where one of our families reached out again to someone. Nobody sent them as far as a brother or a minister or someone here sent them. Nobody told them to go. Nobody brought the need up of how great it was, but it was just done. It was just automatically, naturally done. And the blessing of it, as it came to my ears, of what a joy it was, what an appreciation. I actually believe that lifelong friendships are built by those things. Reaching out at a time of crisis, reaching out at a time of need. And there's a lot of it goes around, on around here, but what blesses me is that it goes on without order or without command. It just happens. Somebody says, there's a need, and ministers to it. Somebody says, somebody needs a visit, and just let's go and do it. The same is true for sowing, for help in sickness, and all the wisdom that's contained in here by experience and knowing somebody has had a similar problem, medical wisdom that comes forth from you, and all kinds of economic wisdom on how to stretch your budgets and how to make it reach. All those things happen around here, and nobody commands it, nobody sets it into order except the Spirit of God, and it's done. And I would say many of these virtues and attributes of Titus and Timothy are fulfilled automatically around here by the Spirit of God. And we really acknowledge it. We see it all the time, and we love to see it that way. Your submission. I know that has been new for some of you from where you come from. And maybe for many of us, we would not have understood submission and have been taught it like we have here. And I know there are struggles in it at times. But I over and over again see submission even to the point when not everyone understands. And I say once again, that's right. It's good. It's a blessing to be able to submit to your husband, just like Titus told, or Paul told Titus that he's to teach him that. And Paul told Timothy he's to instruct him in those things. To submit to your own husband, to love them, and to bow your heart to them. And I know I've dealt many times with struggles in that. And yet I would like to say, you're making it. You're doing it great. Many of you are, you're reaching a point of blessing and real scriptural power in your homes because of it. And I would say, even though that you have to struggle in it, just keep on struggling and doing it and bringing yourself to that point. Even when you don't understand, because the picture that comes out of that in a world like we are in today is beautiful. It is powerful. And you remember, one of the scriptures here is that the Word of God be not blasphemed. And there are many things that we can do in profession to half of it and wreck it all with the other half by people looking on and seeing many areas out of place. Yes, they say they have the Lord. Yes, they accepted Christ. Yes, they say they're converted. But look at this. And in that all, often here's a statement that you will find. If that's the way their women are, I want no parts of it. If that's the way they're going to act, I don't want any part of it. You ever hear statements like that? Oh, yes, we hear statements like that. People say, yes, I know they claim a lot of things or this or that happens, but if that's the way their children are or if that's the way they dress or if that's the way they act, I don't want any parts of it. We hear those statements many times. What it is people are picking that up, an inconsistency there, and they're writing off everything else that's going on here because of an inconsistency. So we're saying, God bless you for all of that and how that you face those things so that the Word of God is not blasphemed. And it makes for a more powerful testimony as a whole. Don't you doubt it for a moment. We cannot maintain our testimony on this side of the house if you do not stand with us. You'll wreck us. You have that power to wreck us and destroy the church. It's that big. But that's not what's happening around here. And I thank God for it. I think many times of the family's verses in Psalms. And a lot of that is the the time spent and the gifts of a sister that bring that into the forefront. And how that there are times we get up here to the pulpit, especially preaching the last message, that it's a bit difficult to get started because we're still choked up or in tears over being touched by God through that ministry of poems and songs and the picture that you paint up here in our minds many times by a godly family. I would like to say once again, that brings brokenness into our hearts. It works a humility in us. We may be strong and kind of prophetic-like at times, and we can kind of talk rough and strong and hard in our preaching, but that softens us. That when children minister at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and on up years old, and they give us the Word of God, and they give us profound truth through poetry, and through songs or little words or verses that they quote, it breaks our hearts and helps us to be humble. I want to say, God bless you for your time and your gifts in that, because it is a ministry again to the whole of this congregation, and its testimony breaks the hearts of many as it happens here and people visit, or as we do it elsewhere, and there again visitors come in and they're blessed by it. I'd like to acknowledge your friendliness to strangers. Many, many visitors and strangers come in here who always have a first time and a second time. And that somebody takes the time, and I know there again it's not in perfection, but that someone takes the time to go up, to bless them, find out who they are, where they're from, welcome them, sit beside me, go with me, I'll show you what's going on around here. And that does happen around here. And it has a point to it that individuals coming do not feel like a visitor very long. They do not feel like a stranger very long where that is done. And I believe it's right and it's a blessing. Some time ago, some of you, our sisters were seen in a grocery store. I still have no idea who it was, and I thank God I don't. It doesn't matter. But some people who were skeptical about the church here and saw them. And perhaps there was no contact, not a word spoken, but went home and a testimony came out of that congregation as they apparently talked about this in their church. The testimony of godly women. You're in a store. You're somewhere shopping, you're at a garage sale, you have no idea. Somebody watches you, somebody sees your conduct, somebody sees your modesty and your appearance, and a testimony comes forth, which has helped erase some of the fears and erase some of the rumors that go on about this place. When a godly testimony is left 7 days a week, I know that happens around here a lot. Since the church is of this size, and I want to say, do it on purpose. It's right. Do it because God has given you the grace of life to do it and wants you to be a godly testimony. And then I think of your prayers and how that has blessed the church, how we have felt them, how we feel them many times. We get under pressure at times with preaching in rapid succession, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening, and a baptism Sunday afternoon, and a brother's meeting Monday night, or something like that. And many things come our way to which we do not have the time to sit down and think each message or each situation through properly. It's impossible. Too many come our way. But at times like that, there are times often that we feel an extra grace that comes alongside of us and helps us just to economize our time, and helps us just, our study goes 5 times better or faster than it does at home in the study when we're alone. I've experienced that many times, and I just want to acknowledge and thank you again for your prayers. They mean a lot, they are felt, they are sensed, and may I say, they are needed. They are really needed in order for the prosperity and spiritual blessing of this congregation and its direction too. That we stay right under God. That we go the right way. And that we don't get led astray. The word discreet I wanted to mention earlier. I just wanted to mention it again now. How the Scripture here teaches the young women that they be sober. That they love their husbands, which we talked about. And sober there, I believe, means to not be lighthearted or giddy, but to be sober. It doesn't mean to never smile, but not to be lighthearted. And then it says to love their children. And we've spoken about that. Then it says to be discreet. And that word discreet blessed me as I looked it up, where it means sound in mind, moderate as to opinion, being temperate. And I realize how that's such a crucial area many times for sisters. If and what happens in a church life if a sister gets too strong on her opinion or has none at all. But here it gives it so beautifully balanced to be moderate as to opinion and to be temperate in life and to be sound in mind. And that many times sisters have a tendency for, and God made you this way, to be more emotional. But in that all, that it is sound. That it is not erratic. That's what Paul is telling Titus to teach the young women, and that the older women teach the young women to do that. And then the word chaste, I'd like to lift up here. It means clean. Chaste means clean and pure, innocent and modest. Clean. And what a blessing it is many times to come into your homes. And it's in order. It's not extravagant, but it's modest and it's in order. And we feel comfortable to sit down in your homes. It's clean. And also the cleanliness that we believe is that is teaching here bodily and the environment of the home. And then to be pure in life. To be pure in conduct and motive, and then to be innocent. I like that. Rather than to discover all the evil that's out there and learn all about it and talk about it, which the Bible says it's a shame to speak of those things, done of them in secret. But rather, if you're innocent, bless God you're innocent. Stay innocent. And you don't have to know. It's not going to help you to know about all the evil. I especially caution you. In this day, don't read the books about Satanism. Don't read the books about all the involvements of evil of some woman here and there and everything that educates all that stuff into your mind. Be innocent. Love it. And rejoice in it. And then, of course, it means to be modest. Well, Paul says, Titus, I want you to tell the young women to be like that. I want you to tell the old women that they are to constantly teach the young women to live this way. And that's our charge. That's our message to you this morning. But we are here also to say it's happening. It's that way. We recognize it. We bless it. We want to say keep on going. Just keep on doing. Just keep on being what we have already talked about this morning and what our Apostle Paul so clearly brings out to Titus and to Timothy and instructs the end time church and all of all time churches to be this way. One of the reasons why this is so important and so blesses me is in the world it's exactly the opposite. They're not doing this. They're rising up against it. They're trying to shake off these things that God wants them to have. And they're losing their happiness. And they're committing suicide. And they're ending up in the mental institution. And they're breaking up their homes. And they're living a wretched life by the time they're 50. And I look at your lives, and I know there's hardly anyone here that's 50, just a few. But I see many heading that direction. And time goes on, and your life is going to be blessed if you keep on going. You'll be 50, you'll have your children gathered around, your life will be so full, you'll be seeing godly weddings, and you'll be so excited about it, you'll be so blessed by it, and then the grandchildren, and they come home and bless your life again walking in the way of truth and righteousness, I'll say you will love it. We're not quite 50, but we certainly do enjoy ours and what God has done in our life. And I see another lady that is wrecked and ruined with hardly a friend, wore out to ruin, you know, at age 50. And that's pretty common. That's pretty common. No reason to live, and then wants to die and take her own life, or just languishes away the rest of her time in misery. And it doesn't have to be that way. And it's not that way here. And I want to say, God bless you. Go for it. It's right. It's good. It's honorable. And thank God for the blessing we have here in that. All right. We have a prayer request here before we go to prayer again for Sharon Wolf, Charlie Wolf's daughter. She has a brain tumor about 4 centimeters in size, and they're not sure what they can do even about it. But things do not look good there. Pray for Sharon. She has been among us in times past, Bible school last February, and attended here for a time. Shall we lift her up in prayer? Shall we kneel at this time? Father, we thank you for our godly sisters and for the joy and the thrill of our heart for the place they fill in this church. I pray you'd bless them, encourage their hearts this morning, witness to them within that it's been worth the struggle, it's been worth the effort, it's been worth the submission, it's been worth it all to face their needs and to be what God wants them to be. Oh God, the rewards are already here, and they will last with us if we continue in this way for the rest of our time. We know it's so. And I pray, God, oh, be jealous over it in this place, and help us never to allow another spirit to come in among us, but rather that we might exercise ourselves with discreetness, with chastity, oh God, with innocency, with modesty. Let those virtues be lifted up and continue to bless us and bless our hearts and bless our lives and bless our eyes, O God. We thank you for the rest you've given our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the joy. We thank you for being able to fellowship and visit without evil, without all those things bombarding us. And God, we pray, O Father, especially those who are struggling in teaching their children in the heavy schedule under the load, I pray, dear God, lift them this morning and give them grace. Give them an extra strength to just keep on going and to bear the load, knowing that they will reap the consequences in a few years, just a few years. It'll be over and they'll reap the blessings of it. And Father, this morning we also pray for a young girl who is hurting, one who is not knowing what the future holds, and none of us do. But this one more so than others, Sharon Wolf, Lord, with her brain tumor. Oh God, we pray. We lay her before you and ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon her. Knowing the circumstances there, not all has been well over the years. And I pray for this young lady. Oh God, take her in your hand. Have mercy on her and touch her life and heal her. We pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus. And then, Father, I pray for the Father's service. And I ask you to continue to bless us. Shore us up. Guide us. Give us strength. Help us to go the right way here in all of our area. Being sound in doctrine. Being sound in life. Not only a profession, but a reality. A living vibration of truth, of righteousness, of the Scriptures, of the person of Christ. Living, breathing, in reality, alive and well in the midst of us. And, oh God, we want to give you the honor and glory. Not unto us, not us, O Lord, but unto thy name we give glory and honor and praise, because it's through your principle, your truth, your word, your spirit that it has all been made possible. And we love it, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.